All right, verse 8, Revelation 18:8. Arrogance, a reason for America's destruction. For this reason, in one day, her plagues will come. For this reason, the preposition, dia, excuse me, with the pronoun, hutas, for this reason, in one, numeral one, mia, day will come, future indicative, heko means to happen, her plagues, plague A is in the plural. They are now listed. What Americans residing in this country will experience. Pestilence. The word pestilence, I don't know why they translate it. Anyway. It's the noun thanatos. It means death. Death. This version has decided, I guess they're thinking about deadly disease. I don't know. But in one day her plagues will come. Death. And mourning, penthos, and famine, hunger. And she'll be burned up with fire. And with fire, she will be burned up. Future passive indicative of kata kaio means to burn up something, consume it. For the Lord God who judges her is strong. For the Lord God who judges, krino, aorist participle, is strong. The verb strong here is, there's a couple words for strong in the Greek. Iskouros means inherently strong. And that's the attribute of omnipotence. Bringing all this together and making this event happen. Point one, verse 8. Arrogance is a major contributor to the intensity of Babylon's arrogance. The phrase in one day is to be taken literally, as in a 24-hour day, or a specific day on the calendar, like 9/11. I just picked that. Also the date of Christ's birth, 3 BC, 9/11. It connects with the phrase, in 1 hour, as in verses 10, 16, and 19. So this is repeated. You can't work your way around it, make it something else. A sudden, overwhelming catastrophe, such as an all-out surprise nuclear attack, would fulfill this phraseology. The words, for this reason, looks back to the boast quoted from Isaiah 47, 7 through 9, which we read in the first session. The position of the words in one day emphasizes how quickly, how suddenly, America will experience the thing that she has avoided from her birth. All in one day. We've had threats. We've had invasions back, you know. The three interconnected plagues satisfy nuclear exposure as a result of many missiles from the land of the north. Excuse me. Jeremiah, like I said, you do well to read these chapters. We also have a doctrine you can look up. I haven't done any modification of it. But Jeremiah 50, verse 9. Oh, well, we'll read verse 8. Wander away from the midst of Babylon. For ancient Babylon, there was no pre-fifth cycle exodus from the country. Right? Daniel stayed there. He wrote out the overthrow of the Babylonian government, and that it was replaced by Persian rulers. So there was no wandering away from Babylon, ancient. So it's code. I cannot emphasize that enough. Code. People use in different realms codes. It's legitimate. Once you break the code, then you start understanding. Wander away from the midst of Babylon and go forth from the land of the Chaldeans. The Chaldeans were the primary racial category that founded the Babylonian Empire. What's the primary racial category that founded this country? Anglo-Saxon. Like it or not, Anglo-Saxon. Be also like male goats at the head of the flock. Who's he referring to here? He's referring to individuals who are going to help people get out of here and lead the Exodus event. For behold, you know, whenever you see these, like, for behold, that means take note. I am going to arouse and bring up against Babylon a horde of great nations from the land of the north. Now, this area that we're talking about, Russia, was made up of, in the time this was written, made up of a lot of different little ethnic groups, all in one that later became Russia, the big country. I mean, that did the different, if you study the history of that landmass, going clear back. They will draw up their battle lines against her. From there, from the land of the north, she'll be taken captive. How do you do that? With conventional ancient warfare, or even in the modern times, you can't take a country without an invasion. Right? No way. You got to get troops over there and equipment if you're going to invade and take a country. But notice the strange language. From there she will be taken captive. From the land of the north. And we know the answer to that now. Intercontinental ballistic missiles. And then what are the weapons that are featured? Now, when we're talking about the ancient world, we'll talk about things, the weapons that they had, they used. Bows and arrows, swords. And they had a few things that threw stuff, you know. But why feature arrows? One of the patches on one branch of the military up here on their deal is a flaming arrow. It's a patch. I don't know where I remember hearing about that. Some division within the American military, they had on their deal a flaming arrow. You stick an arrow. You saw this in the movie. If you saw the movie, where the Romans are fighting the pagan northerners, and they're shooting all these arrows that they put in it into something, and fire coming out, and the Romans putting their shields up, and these bouncing off of it. Their arrows will be like an expert warrior. Who does not return empty-handed. Chaldea will become a plunder. Unconventional plunder. plunder from the ancient world was obviously, once they defeated the enemy, they went in there and took everything they could that was of value. They sacked the place. All who plunder her will have enough, declares the Lord. Fourteen, draw up battle lines against Babylon on every side. All you who bend the bow. Wouldn't this be bizarre? A warfare where it's all about arrows? It isn't when you get unconventional arrows. See, that's called cracking the code. All you who bend the bow, shoot at her. Do not spare with your arrows, for she has sinned against the Lord. And 51:11 reads, sharpen the arrows, fill the quivers. The Lord has aroused the spirit of the kings of the Medes. In Cyrus's army, guess who the ones were that were the famous archers of that time? The Medes. The Medes. They're like cousins. It's like this group. Yeah, the Persians, you have the Medes, and you have the Elamites. A breakdown of the ancient empire. All within the area today we call Iran. Who came over to Babylon on the Euphrates. Surrounded the city. But arrows weren't involved in the overthrow of that city at all. You can read in the book how they did it. They diverted the river just enough so that soldiers could sneak in there and go into the royal palace where they were having a big bash and kill everybody. That's the one where Daniel went in there and did the handwriting on the wall interpretation. They tried everybody Daniel did that, and he walked out. He was spared and given a position in the Persian Empire. So 51:11, because his purpose is against Babylon to destroy it. And I'm still working on this, haven't figured it out yet. If you have any ideas, let me know. Don't make it something goofy, okay? For it is vengeance of the Lord, vengeance for his temple. What? I haven't figured that one out. I'll just be honest with you completely. What has America had to do with Israel's temple in any kind of terminology? In other words, and we also, of course, we are dealing with code here. So I don't know how that factors in. I'll just leave it at that. You know, if there's something I don't understand in the Bible, a statement or phrase, it doesn't upset me to tell you that. Instead of just make something up. That's not me. And on the other hand, too, if I have something wrong, I'll fix it once I see it. I just want you to know that. This will all come upon a nation and a people that dwell by many waters. There's another clue. That isn't going to fit every nation now, is it? It might fit some. 51:13. O you who dwell by many waters. Well, that fits for the U.S. East Coast, Atlantic Ocean. West Coast, Pacific Ocean. And south of us, the Gulf of Mexico. That's dwelling by many waters by any definition. Abundant in treasures. We're going to emphasize that. Can you imagine the amount of wealth that is squirreled away in this country? You see it all the time. all the wealth, all the materialistic wealth that resides in the United States, in homes, in businesses, in other things. It's all of it. The average nice home and a lifetime of accumulating of stuff. All these things that are of value, they will all be rendered destroyed. Abundant in treasures, your end has come. These words echo down through the centuries. These aren't old dead prophecies. They will come to life and be fulfilled. The measure of your end. The Lord of the armies, that's hosts, has sworn by himself. God takes an oath by himself because he cannot appeal to any higher. Well, a person may go into a courtroom and take an oath with their hand on a Bible. I don't know if they do that anymore. With their hand on a Bible, say, I will tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. It's an oath. You take an oath when you get married. You promise to do the following. Okay? An oath. When humans do it, they swear by something greater than themselves. This can be abused, by the way, but the Lord takes an oath by himself as who I am. Sworn by himself. Surely I'll fill you with a population like locusts. Have you ever seen any pictures of locust plagues? They're pretty funny. I saw one. There's some old photographs. And these locusts are coming through the air in the spring, summertime. And they land on this tree, and in no time, that thing is denuded. There isn't nothing left of leaves. Devouring locusts. God has used those in history as plagues against people. I've driven up to Colorado on the highway. I don't know if it was grasshoppers or locusts. They were so thick. They just coated the highway. You drove over them and smashed them. And it's a pretty impressive noise when they come in, too. So if you have anything out there they like, it's gone. All vegetation, gone. I'll fill you with a population like locusts, and they will cry out with shouts of victory over you. That's what's going on in Russia when they pull this off. Of course, they're going to take credit for it. They're not going to say, God blessed us. And they got the Bible too. The overthrow is not gradual, but swift and decisive. This isn't a drawn-out warfare. The first plague is literally death. Most Americans will die outright that are here. These big cities, they're going to target all the big cities. They're going to target everything. It doesn't care what it is. And all these people housed in these big cities like New York City. You ever been there? Do you ever walk down the streets of New York City? It's pretty damn impressive. I've been there a couple times. Had a believer that showed me around. I've been on their subway and seen people at the end of a workday coming out of these big buildings just in mass. You do that every day. And then get on that subway and you're this close to them. And they do this every day. Oh, well, 5 days a week. Weekends, we went up there on weekends. It was pretty tame. Went there on a Sunday to watch stuff out on the around the Statue of Liberty. We got there just in time for the tail end of a gay parade. This is before, you know, it was... Anyway, never mind. So these big cities, one of those weapons will just take them out. If they use these warheads with multiple things that are sent out different directions, they're not just hitting military targets. They're taking everything. Okay. The overthrow is not gradual but swift and decisive. The first plague is literally death. Most Americans will die outright because they are concentrated in cities. Jeremiah 50:32. I love this. I love the detail that's built into this. The arrogant individual will stumble and fall with no one to raise him up. And I will set fire to his cities. And it will devour all his environs. That's the areas outside the cities. You know, traveling in America, a lot of it, is from city to city. And then the in-between stuff, which are towns and the rest of it. Her cities will become an object of horror, a parched land and a desert. That's misspelled. A land in which no man lives and through which no son of man passes. Nobody can come back here. Even when all the nuclear part is not a threat, they can't come in here and look around. Ancient past in history, when kingdoms were overthrown, people would come back in there. Ancient Babylon was once this big bad city. And then it declined. And what it was reduced to? A place where shepherds would come in with their sheep and bed them down for the night. That's it. God takes down the arrogant and brings them down. So what in this country, you'll have these shells of buildings. And we did, I haven't given that one up. I get to it. In which the animal kingdom will flourish in the millennium. I mean flourish in this country. It's one big wild zoo with millennial category animals. Mourning is the psychological effect upon a dying nation. Famine or hunger refers to those who linger for some time after the fatal day, as food supplies will be scarce, one, and nuclear poisoning will make it impossible to keep the food in the stomach. You're sick. All your hair falls out. Among other conditions as a result of exposure to radiation poisoning. She will be burned up with fire. 14. Death stands over against the arrogant scorn of the prospect of widowhood. Sorrow is a response to her reveling and famine in response to her abundance. The causal conjunction for, or because, introduces the reason for the total annihilation of the population of America. The adjective strong stands at the head of a clause to emphasize what it is that brings its unprecedented destruction to pass. It is the strength of the Lord God who judges her. The power is without challenge, and so he is able to bring to pass the destruction of the strong city. Revelation 18:10. America is like one big city connected with all these around. The cities in this country from coast to coast were built in a kind of a pattern, I think. So God, who judges her, is strong. The strength God exhibits here is his ability to bring history to this point and to execute this and use his agent, Russia, to do it. None compares to him in power and ability to unleash this devastation and still keep the human race from extinction. There's a lot of talk about a nuclear war will destroy the whole earth. No, a lot of people are going to die. And we had it one of the judgments in the first half of the tribulation, the seal judgments. It was number 6. This stuff is going to spread over the earth. You know, you've seen the picture of the first atomic bomb dropped with a mushroom cloud going up. And we've set off some nuclear weapons in the deep South Pacific, experimental. We sent some up trying to punch a hole in the dome. Look it up. It was called, it was in the late 50s, I believe. Operation Fishbowl. Whoa, why would you name it that? Of all the things you could name. You know, when I was a kid, I had a little fishbowl. A little fish in it. Dump all the water out, turn it upside down, there's your fishbowl. There's your dome. And in Operation Fishbowl, I can tell you, the military person of America that was in charge of it was Admiral Byrd. He also had position down in the real Antarctica. They went out in the South Pacific and shot up missiles trying to punch a hole in that dome. And the missiles would get up so far and just go haywire and come apart. Because God put an electromagnetic field up there. You can't penetrate it. No, they can't break through that quote-unquote glass. Because they can't even get to it. When you get our resurrection bodies, we're going to go right through it. It's not going to bother us at all. I think of friends and others went to heaven in recent times. Now you know it's a dome and a flat earth, don't you? I'm not happy that you found out that the way you did. I wish you'd have found out down here so when you step up there, you can go, yeah. And now you can look around and see some of the details we can't fully appreciate. His power is without challenge. None compares to him in power and ability. One of the things, as we come to the end of this Bible class, one of the things you have to remember as a believer, and keep in front of you, is the three O's of divine essence. All powerful, all knowing, and everywhere. You can't name anything that God doesn't have before him. You and I are finite human beings. And I got this before me, and that's what I can concentrate on. When this is over, then I'll have to concentrate on something else. He has it on everything and everybody through the whole course of history before it ever even happened. If you find language where God found out, it's language of accommodation. He'd have to have a perfect plan. You couldn't work a perfect plan. You'd have things that wouldn't work out. You'd have a good one, maybe. But you couldn't have a perfect one. Absolutely perfect. How is he going to judge righteously, you and I, when we get our rewards package? Unless he knows when you were and when you weren't in fellowship. The words, who judges her, are a constant reminder that the Lord God is the final arbitrator in the affairs of the international community. That's somebody that doesn't get mentioned in all these big meetings, right? Right on. The words are an allusion to Jeremiah 50:34, where the strength of Babylon's judge is the subject. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.